Hi, I'm Rania.
And I'm Ismail.
And this is the Happy Marriage Podcast, the podcast to help you not only make your marriage work, but make it thrive. Welcome to today's episode, our top communication tips. So communication is essential to a happy marriage. So I'll share one of my tips and then Ismail, you can share yours. One of my first tips, which sounds like it's not a tip at all, because it's kind of like obvious, it's like a no-brainer, is to actually do it. So one of my top communication tips is to actually communicate. Why am I saying that? Is because I think people can listen to this episode and sort of, you know, get, you know, top communication tips, and then they're not actually communicating. So my top tip is communicate. And communicate with the right person. Right?
What does that mean?
Because I noticed that a lot of people communicate about their marriage, not with their spouse.
Yeah, with someone else.
Right? Yes. So communicate with the right person, and the right person for a happy marriage is your spouse. Communicate with other people about your relationship or your marriage, in my opinion, is not going to be conducive to a healthy and happy relationship. With some exceptions, of course, because sometimes we need to communicate with one, you know, special person who actually helps us, you know, and we need that. And that's fine. We all have a right to do that. However, and this has sort of been the way we've been doing things, if you're doing that a lot, in my opinion, this is not it's not going to be conducive to a healthy and happy relationship. What is conducive to a healthy and happy relationship is to communicate regularly with your spouse, and when you do that, you will not need to communicate with somebody outside of the relationship for extra help or assistance. And if at certain times you do, then I think you need to be really careful about who that person is. So if it's professional, then that would be top of on my list. It's if it's a friend or a family member, you need to be really specific about who they are and your purpose, your intention. Is it going to really help you communicate better with your spouse to have this communication with a friend or family member or not? Because that creates another dynamic, and it and even well-meaning friends and family members can give you the wrong kind of advice that's not going to be helpful. So actually communicate with the right person, with your spouse, communicate, you know, if you really need to, outside of that relationship, but carefully. And then, so basically these are all sort of my pre-communication tips, and then after a while I'll share when you're actually communicating what I think the do's and don'ts are. Another thing about communicating is, to me, use as many senses as you can. So it's not very effective to communicate in writing only. Because when we communicate only in writing, we don't know how the person is going to read that. And we tend to read things the way we think. So communicate in, you know, verbal, you know, use your eyes, use your ears. If you can put in as many senses as possible, even touch, then that's going to be more effective, in my opinion. Because then we'll be able to feel what the person means. Because communication isn't just words. Words are a big part of it, but there's body language, there's... You know, I can say the same thing, but you could see on my face.
You're absolutely right, because a big part of communication is non-verbal, actually.
So use as many senses, and then, that's enough for now from me. Let's go over to you.
Okay. I also have a few things to talk about pre-communication, and this is from, I guess, from a male standpoint. I think guys out there need to ask themselves this important question. Do you respect women? Because... I believe this is an issue with many guys. I mean, how do you sort of look at women? How do you think about women? And I think great communication stands on two pillars. And the first pillar is respect. And by respect, I mean respecting yourself and respecting women in general. Do you think women are equal to you? Or do you think they're, you know, the lesser or the weaker party in this relationship, because that impacts your communication greatly. I mean, if you think you're the boss in this relationship, or you're better, or you're, because whatever reason in your head, so that's one question. I mean, do you respect women? Do you respect your wife? So if you take that down, if you take that one notch down to the women in your life, the most important one to you would be mother or wife or daughter. So do you respect those women in your life? And when you respect them, how do you show it?
Mm.
How do they know you respect them?
Yeah.
And it is through communication, verbal or nonverbal. That's how they know that you have respect for them. And another thing that actually I think helped or helps communication become great is trust. Trusting that you can be yourself, that you can be vulnerable without being judged,
mm-hmm.
that you are in a safe zone with your spouse. In my case, I'm talking about men communicating with women. So your wife needs to feel safe when she's with you. So if she says something, she needs to feel that she could be vulnerable without, you know, being
judged labeled.
Or labeled. Or I'll get to labels and stuff like this at a later stage. But my I think the foundation for me of great communication is respect and trust. And men need to sort of work within themselves to make sure that they respect women and that they show it, and that they, through open and honest communication, it'll take some time, but to build that trust where we can both be vulnerable,
yeah.
or both are comfortable being vulnerable around each other.
Yeah,
and
being ourselves.
Being ourselves, yes. And sharing our weaknesses, because sometimes men think women are weaker. I have the complete opposite opinion about this. I think women are far stronger than us men, yani. I believe that to be very true because of, I mean, the multitude of things that women can do simultaneously. And some of them are just extremely difficult. I mean, we complain about going to work and coming back from work, and work is like a huge load. Women can work. Women can raise kids. They take care of homes. They can do hundreds of things that we men will shrivel under just one or two of them. So I really believe that women are the stronger species here. So
I have this image now of men shriveling.
Oh yes, I mean, no, really, I mean. We do. Give a man a couple of kids for 2 days. I mean, you know, having
yeah,
to go to work.
Yeah. No,
they,
I mean,
they can't do it. I mean, we can't do it.
Of course, I'm sure there are some men out there who are the, you know, the primary caregivers for kids. And
yeah.
So, I mean, this is more maybe
but
stereotypical. But
yeah.
It isn't easy. It isn't easy. I think women are awesome. So I'm not going to argue with that. And I'll take this opportunity to
yeah.
celebrate women. Yeah, I think we can and we do so many different things.
Mm-hmm.
And we and I think many of us, again, we cannot ever generalize, you know, men this, women that. It's people, and people are people, and they're diverse and they're different.
Yes.
But women, so many women I know, yeah, they do so many things, and many women I know, they just do it and they don't complain, you know, and
yes.
they carry a big load without
yes.
complaining. But I do think as well, I mean, you carry a huge load, and you have for the longest time carried a huge load without ever complaining. In fact, maybe too much not complaining, because I remember for the longest time you would be doing so much work, have so many huge problems, and then I would come with my tiny little problem and wonder why you're not acknowledging it.
Mm.
And then finally, it took a long time for you to actually open up and share your world, because you didn't want to throw it on me.
Yes.
But when you did, oh my God, it made me realize, okay, he's going through a lot, and that helped me also create this nice environment at home.
Mm-hmm.
When you come home, when I understood mm-hmm. what you were going through, I think you also, men can also carry a large, heavy workload
mm-hmm.
and feel like it's their responsibility to do that and not to bring
yes,
it back home.
Yes, of course. Again, it's very stereotypical for men to sort of think they need to be strong. And they
yeah.
need to not show any signs of, you know, vulnerability or weakness.
Yeah.
But the beautiful thing about great communication is that you can do this.
Exactly.
And
yes.
you can just do it and feel okay doing it. And it, people need to understand that this is not complaining. It's very different from complaining.
No, it's not. Yeah.
When you are sharing things that are going inside with your spouse, it is again with great communication. It is done in a way that actually helps the relationship rather than
exactly.
come across as, you know, she complains all the time or he complains all the time.
Yeah.
That's not what we're talking about here.
So when I was thinking about communication for
mm-hmm.
this episode, so these episodes are completely unrehearsed, they're raw. We
mm-hmm.
never know what we're going to say, but So one of the things I was thinking about is to break down communication. In my mind, I broke it down into three parts. Of course, it depends on whether you're the one initiating the communication or on the receiving end. So if we're talking about you're the one initiating the communication, if we're talking about you're the one who's receiving it, so from my perspective, there's some input that's coming in, there's processing that I'm going to do with it, and then there's output. And then, of course, that continues, right? So if I break it down, input, to me, what needs to happen here is that I actually listen first. A lot of times, you probably have heard this 1,000 times, people aren't really actively listening. They're listening and they're just preparing a response in their minds. That's not really actively listening.
No.
So if we take the first part, input, my tips here would be to actively listen, to seek to understand what the person is saying, get feel for how they're feeling. And as you're then going to the next stage, which is to process it, to, as much as you can, be removing judgments, removing labels, as you're processing what they're saying after you've listened. So we need to really identify the three stages, because if we're going to process as we're listening, then we're not really listening.
Yes.
But then when we listen, we then need to process this before we then reply, which is the output. And I think if we have a long gap between the two, the longer the better. And if we even need to cool down before the output, if we need to do that, and if we can, then that's better. So back to the processing. The exercise of really putting yourself in that person's place, in their shoes, seeing where they're coming from, is going to optimize the output. As you're processing what they're saying, as I said, tapping into compassion, staying in the moment as well, not bringing in the past or the future. And then in terms of the output, as kind, as compassionate as you can bring up, respectful, obviously, you want to be respectful in your communication. Let's stop here and give me some of your take on that.
I think one of the most important parts of this is actually listening. I think we usually are preparing the replies as we're listening. And I think one of the best things a man can do when he's talking to his wife is to learn to listen, because sometimes as the guys, we want to fix the situation. We jump to fixing the situation, which is not what your wife wants. I mean, what you really need is to be listened to. You need to say something, and you need your husband to listen. So yes, absolutely. I mean, it works for both of us, obviously, but I think that guys need to learn to listen more, because when your wife is talking about something that sounds to you like a problem and you want to fix it, you're not really listening. All you're doing is you're proposing solutions, but this is not what she wants right now. What she wants is for you to listen. And the second thing is, sometimes that's just enough. I mean, she just needs to be heard. So I've learned that skill to just shut up, you know, just wait.
That's true.
Let her finish what she's trying to say. And if she needs help, she will probably ask for it. You know, I want you to do this or that. But if there's no request, listening may just be enough. And then the next thing I do usually is I ask if you need any help. I mean, I don't have to offer anything. I can just, and it really makes life so much easier communicating, because instead of being the person feeling the pressure of having to help or fix something quickly, all you need to do is just be quiet, listen, and then just ask if, what can I do? I mean, if there's anything I can do or not. If there's nothing you can do, then, and if there's nothing required of you to do right now, then maybe that's just it. She just needed to, you know,
just be seen, be heard.
Just be seen and be heard, especially when you've been apart the entire day. So yes, absolutely. Listening is really important. I mean, from the, and I think it's a good practice for us to sort of, you know, listen until the sentence or the entire paragraph or whatever it is finished, and then you can maybe offer some help. I think guys also need to learn to, okay, part of your communication is mostly about you. So when your spouse says something, our replies are usually about the problems that we have, the perceptions that we have.
Yeah.
And I think we need to stop doing a few things, like we as both. But again, I'm talking from the male
yeah.
perspective, because I can understand more how I think as a guy. One might have, you know, conceptions or ideas or judgments or labels about his wife. She always complains. And I think we as guys, or both of us actually, spouses, need to remove those labels, because they will impact what you say. And so one of the things you need to start doing is, like you said, clear your head, maybe even give yourself a couple of moments to think before you speak, because you need to sort of eliminate whatever preconception or judgment or labels that you have and focus on the issue here and be very pragmatic about it. Otherwise, you might say something you might regret later. So,
yeah.
And I would advise people not to use any judgment. So like you, or alwayses, I call them, like you always do this or you always do that. Don't bring things from the past. Like, you know, you remember when you did this, just focus on right now and focus on how you can make things better. I mean, if you're going to say something that's going to make things better. Don't just say something where you feel like it's been bottled up for such
yeah.
a long time and you want to just, you know, so.
Yeah, and you said something when you were saying, if you might say something you might regret.
Mm.
So also here, there's I want to say that one of the things that I believe are important is that if there's room for an apology, to actually do it and to do it as quickly as you can.
Mm.
If you have said something and you do regret it,
mm-hmm.
then don't just leave it at that. Actually go back and say, I said this, I shouldn't have said that. This is how I felt, and you know, I took it out on you, whatever. And it wasn't about you, it was about me. Whatever it is that you need to say that's honest and true to you,
mm-hmm.
just do it. And that's really important part of communication, is to be able to apologize.
Mm-hmm.
This, of course, applies to any relationships, not just married couples. But I think that's an important part of it. And also what you said, when people communicate, it tells you about them. It's not about you, it's about the person. And this can also be helpful for us to remember,
mm-hmm.
because we tend to make things about us.
Mm-hmm.
So when he says something to me, and maybe he's not at his best, he's not, you know, as resourceful as he usually is, so it doesn't come out very well, that I take it, I mean, I used to, I mean, you know, take it as though it's something about me.
Mm-hmm.
And it usually isn't. Things aren't about you. They're about the other person. If they
yeah.
come out of the other person, then they're about the other person. Of course, it's related to you somehow, but it's more about where they are at that moment.
Yeah.
And we need also, it would really help us to identify what triggers us and why is that a problem for us that he said that, whatever it is. Because then that can teach us about ourselves as well.
Mm-hmm.
If you're saying something which is really about you, but then I make it about me, then maybe there's something in me that I need to then work on. Why did I make it about me? And why is that a problem for me? And why did that trigger me? And then I can make that change as well from the inside out.
Mm.
All of these things eventually improve communication. And we haven't always had, like, you know, amazing communication. But we've from a very early stage, had pretty good communication, because we made communication probably the biggest part of our
yeah.
relationship, even from before we got married.
Mm.
So we did do that.
Mm.
However, it's also been a journey of communicating more and more and better, so that over time it eliminates the need to communicate over certain things, because, you know, there aren't any misunderstandings in those areas now.
Mm.
And the misunderstandings start to become less
to
and
become
less,
much less yes.
and then the communication can become more and more just about sharing our lives with each other.
Mm.
Just about planning what we want to do next.
Mm.
And that's nice. So I think what I want to say is that we need to probably go through a lot of perhaps not so much, not so fun, or perhaps heavier communication at the beginning, so that after a while, communication becomes lighter and it becomes,
yes,
you know, more
enjoyable.
I think
you're the one who started this trend of communication well that got us to where we are now. I remember I used to refrain from saying anything that would bother you, even though it's something I don't like, and I wouldn't talk about it because, you know, I don't want to hurt your feelings.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, I don't remember when, but sometime you said, I'd rather be upset and angry and even cry or whatever right now, but we resolve it, you know, as opposed to you bottling something up for like 10 years and then it ends up terribly.
Yeah.
So, and I took that advice, and I think I've been doing it ever since. Yes, you can talk about things that are bothering you, but again, you need to be open and honest. You need to not use blame. You need to do it the right way, and I can explain the right way in a minute. But being able to talk about things that bother you and communicate them, so that even if it hurts, even if it's not the best thing, that you don't think it's the best thing to do, it usually works, because getting things out immediate, or processing things as soon as they happen, is way better. Even if it causes a little bit of, you know, if it's uncomfortable, it's definitely better in the long run, in the long term, than bottling things up.
Exactly.
Now, how to communicate, this is very important. Please, please, please don't use blame. I mean, don't blame. Whatever you want to say, blame is very painful, and it makes one feel really bad, and it stays. I mean, you're hurt, and hurt is going to be remembered. So whenever you're communicating, don't blame, don't label. I mean, your wife or your husband isn't this or that. They're the same person you married or you fell in love with. Now, if they're doing something that you are not very comfortable with, talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
But don't use, you know, blame, pain, shame, labeling, judgment. Be respectful. I mean, that's what I want to say here. But definitely processing things as soon as they happen is very good. But again, there's a little tip here. As soon as they happen, but not if you're not at your best. I mean, if you're very angry, wait until you cool down, and then you can talk about it. The main element here is respect. So if you're going to be able to communicate respectfully, go ahead, do it right away. If you're not going to do it respectfully, then wait.
Wait until you can do that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And forgiveness as well. I mean, that I can talk about in a whole episode on its own, but we need to be forgiving of ourselves and of, you know, our spouse as well.
Mm.
I guess you can forgive big things as well. So forgiveness is a whole, there's a whole science behind that, but we need to be forgiving, but we need to also, it really helps if we're calm in our communication first, so that there's not so much to forgive.
Mm.
But we're not perfect, and we're not going to be like never losing our cool, and never. And so as human beings who are imperfect, there are times when we're not going to be at our best. I haven't always been at my best, and
neither have I.
So, but you were forgiving, and I was forgiving, and that's part of it as well.
Mm-hmm.
So that again, it goes back to being able to listen to each other and see where the person's coming from, and the person being able to apologize, and that apology really being genuine, so that then I am more likely to want to forgive. And of course, how often is that happening? If I need to forgive things every single day, that's a little bit tiring.
Too much.
So then what's going on? Let's talk about that. And why? What's going on with you that's making you do these things that I have to forgive every single day? And maybe I feel it's a little bit too much for me to have to forgive every single day. So we can actually talk about that.
Mm.
That's what I would recommend. Because in the end, we're just people who want to live happily. We want to be ourselves. We don't want to be stuck in something that's, you know, holding us back or making us feel miserable day in, day out. It's one life, right?
Mm.
And we married, you know, each other for a reason. So just going back, and when you're really honest and being yourself and not saying what you think you should say, or not refraining from saying things because you think they may might be misunderstood, when you clear that stuff all out of the way, I really think that this is what makes things work.
Mm.
And doing that as you go along improves the relationship over time.
Yeah, and you remember that poem you wrote
yes.
to me back,
yeah.
back when I think we I don't know if I don't remember if we were even engaged.
No, I think I was still in university.
You were 18.
Yeah,
you were 18.
Yeah, I was
19
18
or something.
Yeah.
And I remember the first thing you wrote was "Love is respect."
Yeah, that was the first
trust.
Thing. Yeah, it's a huge poem. Just to give the people context,
yeah.
Actually, I couldn't have been in school. Though. That's impossible. So
no,
I was.
No, you were in university.
Yeah, first year of university. But I actually got this huge wooden slab and papyrus.
Mm.
I stuck papyrus on it, and I was really good at calligraphy at the time.
Mm.
So I wrote this entire poem on papyrus in
the first sentence was
love is
respect
trust loyalty
and
care.
Now to me, when I first read that, the first thing I read was love is respect, and I was 21, and to me love and respect were not connected. I mean, there is no relationship whatsoever. Love is love and respect is something else totally. Now fast forward 34 years
yeah,
years,
I guess so.
I think yeah.
yeah,
I think they're so interconnected, because
yeah, yeah.
why people don't get along. I mean, you want to be respected. And by the way, if you look up respect in the dictionary, admiration is a big part of respect. And so being respected is like being admired. So when you admire somebody, you're very respectful. Like think of somebody whom you really admire. You're not going to be, you know, treating them badly or looking down on them. You're treating them with respect. So with admiration.
Yeah.
Now that helps a lot in great communication, and it obviously is a journey to get to that level, but I cannot stress
yeah,
respect and trust enough. It's just amazing what it can do to the relationship.
I remember when I wrote that poem,
yeah.
I gave it to you, and then you showed it to your father.
Yeah.
And what did he tell you?
My dad said, of course, he had met Rania maybe a few times, I don't know, and she's 18. So, and he
yeah.
said, did she write this? And I said, yes. He said, these are her words. I said, yes, they are. He said, you should marry this girl. Yeah, and
yeah, I mean, you were going to anyway. You
I
wanted
was going to,
her,
I wanted
was,
to, yes.
Yeah, I remember I was sitting in the garden of the villa here.
Yeah.
And I was just pouring out what I felt at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember.
It's an amazing poem.
I just
by the
said
way.
I
yeah.
remember, and it was a really long poem which is lost somehow now. I don't know where it is. I don't
yeah.
know if we'll find it, but
mm-hmm.
I remember some of the sentences, not all of them, and some of them I may not agree with as much now. But
mm-hmm.
but I think it was love is respect, trust, loyalty, and care. Love is to sacrifice, to forgive, to understand, and to share.
Yes.
The sacrifice thing, I would have. I'd need to get into that because
mm.
it needs to be done. I don't know if I believe in sacrifice as much, but
mm.
but yeah, if we both need to sacrifice certain things for some reason, then I think we need to carry that together.
Mm.
I don't believe it's about one person sacrificing
yes.
themselves
mm.
or anything like that. Love is, it was just, I want to try to remember it. I remember one line as well, you know, but love is mostly wanting to be there to show how much you really care.
Mm.
I like that one. Love is honesty and emotion. Love is patience and devotion.
There was a part about being able to say what you
think
you
should
have.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
Which is important in communication.
Yeah,
yeah,
that's true. Mm. I'll try to pull it out.
Yes, it was a fantastic poem. And it showed how you were inside. And I think that's another big part of communication is if you don't like something about your spouse, instead of trying to change them, try to find out why you don't like it, because maybe it's about you. Not maybe, it's definitely about you, it's not about them. If you don't like something about anybody really, I mean, you need to think, maybe I can change something about myself so that I'm more accepting. Not just accepting, maybe I even can turn to like whatever it is I used to dislike. So we usually jump to judgment very quickly, like if you don't like something, it's because of a prejudgment that you had, and you may add to that prejudgment, you fix it. Now it's definitely
yeah.
a fixed judgment about that person. When the real place to look for fixing is here.
Yeah.
I mean, you go inside and you ask yourself, why am I uncomfortable when she does this or when she says that? Instead of jumping to conclusions and attacking.
Yes.
That's a practice that I think is very important. And I remember when I was when I was very young, maybe 11 or 12, I used to blurt things out as soon as I think of them. Somebody in the club was a few years old. He said, he gave me this piece of advice. I said, Ismail, I want to give you some advice. Please give yourself 10 seconds to think before you say anything. It's going to help you in life. And I think he was right. I didn't understand that back then, but
yes,
now I do. And I think it's very important in a relationship first to find out, why is this bothering me? You know, why do I don't like it when she says that or does that? And try to fix myself instead of fixing someone else.
Yeah,
you know,
that's a very good point.
Yeah.
And I think this is really important, because I was just thinking now, you can be listening to this episode or watching it, and if you're not thinking about yourself, you can be listening to all of these, you know, top communication tips and thinking, oh yeah, he doesn't do this or he doesn't do that. Oh yeah, this is, he can do this better. And that's not really going to help.
No.
What's going to help is for you to think, okay, how am I communicating? Oh, am I doing this? Am I doing that? That's what's going to help. Because when you, you know, sort of improve and optimize your communication, it's going to be just by default helping the other person as well communicate better. Because, you know, the mirror neurons, we tend to mirror each other. So if I'm nervous, on edge, or if I'm just going into this conversation with a preconceived notion or label, the energy will be felt, and you're also not going to be your best, and so on and so on. So let's get to the practical side of the episode. I want to really, really invite you, if you haven't been listening to this episode with your own communication in mind, is to maybe even re-listen to it or re-watch it and think about how you are communicating. And maybe try this exercise out, which is, for 1 week, just notice how you communicate. That's it. Just notice how you communicate. Don't focus on how the other person is or isn't communicating, what they can do better. I mean, we would like them to do that as well. If you're both doing that exercise, great. But for 1 week, just focus only on yourself. How am I communicating? Am I being respectful? Am I really listening? Am I giving myself time to process things so that I'm actually putting out the best output that I can? Is that output calm? Because it's not going to be heard if it's not calm. It's not going to have the, you know, the effect that you would want if it's not calm. Is it compassionate? So ask yourself some of these questions and just notice for a full week. And in that week, write down what you've noticed. This is what I do. This is what I've noticed about how you currently communicate. And then write down what you think, you know, are areas of improvement. And it's fine for us all to have areas of improvement, right? That's not a problem. It's not a label on you either. How can I possibly improve my communication? Like, for example, I am the kind of person who interrupts a lot. So I know, and it's still an area of improvement for me, that I tend to interrupt in communication. And I know that I can, you know, do better. So it's good to be, you know, just critiquing ourselves also gently. I mean, it's not about, you know, hitting ourselves on the head with a hammer. But noticing how are we currently communicating, and how can we communicate better? And then maybe also thinking about, how do I like to be communicated to? When I think about how I like to be communicated to, there's two benefits here. Because first of all, it can help me realize if there's a discrepancy between how I like to be communicated to and how I'm currently communicating. Because let's be fair about that then. And then also, it can be then part of this conversation that maybe you can both then have after that week, which is, you know, I've noticed that I do this, I can do this better. I've also noticed that I really like to be communicated to in this way. And you can just say that. You don't have to say, so do this, and why aren't you doing that? I mean, again, let's not make it a, you know, conflict. But like, for example, you know, some people like to be communicated to through touch, and some people just need a hug, you know. And you're good at that. You're good at sort of absorbing a lot of, like, if I'm nervous or whatever, you can just absorb it all and just, you know, maybe give me a hug. Or just listen and shut up, as you said, and not, you know, try to feel like you have to fix things, and then that becomes pressure for you, and then... So, yeah, that's my idea of an exercise. What do you think about that?
I think it's definitely great. It's good to be aware to take the time to be aware of how you're communicating and how you feel when you hear or say certain things. So just awareness is a good exercise with communication or otherwise. Another thing I'd like to add here very quickly is, I think, take this next week to notice if you are using any blame words when you're communicating, if you're bringing up the past when you're communicating, if you're, you know, your communication is based on judgment, preconceived ideas.
Yeah, so this can be a really valuable week of sort of going inside and, you know, working from the inside out. And then maybe having that conversation with each other and taking your communication to a higher level. Yeah, so that brings us to the end of another episode.
Yeah.
We'll be back in 2 weeks. Please subscribe on YouTube if you're watching us on YouTube. If you're not, if you're listening in on Apple, Google Podcasts, Spotify, please follow us there. Give us a rating and send your questions. I'm really, really, really happy with the questions we've gotten so far, and we will be doing future episodes to answer those questions. We've got some great questions. And we've got some comments already, amazing feedback for on our first two episodes. So thanks a lot, guys. We're really glad that you found this valuable. And yeah, we'll keep doing it. I'm glad it's been helpful to you. And please share any questions, any comments, anytime. Thank you.
Bye.